We're on the telephone with Neil Curler. Neil is the CEO of Pacific Ethanol. Neil, tell us again about Pacific Ethanol. I know you own a couple of plants in Nebraska.
Yes, we sure do. Pacific Ethanol, headquartered in Sacramento, California. We have 9 ethanol plants and 600 million gallons of combined ethanol production capacity. 6th largest ethanol producer in the world, and 155 million of those gallons are located in the great state of Nebraska. 2 plants on the same site, right next to Aurora, Nebraska.
Well, as you know, EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt is going to be in Nebraska today, going to be meeting with Governor Pete Ricketts and some agricultural leaders later today. And he's been on his Midwestern tour this week, stopping in Kansas and South Dakota earlier this week. And sounds like he's been getting quite an earful from some of the farmers and ethanol folks on his stops there about his policies. Talk about what you've heard on that.
I've heard the same, and it's been clear for some time that Secretary Pruitt has not been a friend of the ethanol industry. It's not been implementing the renewable fuel standard, also known as the RFS, as he should be, and is not implementing the support that we feel very strongly we have from President Trump. So he is not doing his job by way of the farmer or the president, and he needs to change that behavior or find another job. And this is something that's very, very strongly felt by farmers. We actually have farmer owners of our plant, the Aurora Co-op, the largest co-op in Nebraska, is 20% owner of our ethanol facilities. They feel it. They feel it in the sagging farm income. We feel it as ethanol producers and looking for expanded use of a product that's so good for the consumer and the environment, the economy, and we need initiatives from the EPA to give us parity for the higher blends, so we can sell more of the higher blends, which is lowers the price to the consumers and reduces emissions. We need them to stop giving out exemptions to hardship exemptions to small refiners that don't need it, and frankly aren't even small refiners, and other notions that, you know, he's been trying to advocate that are not good for ethanol.
He has made the comment this week that, you know, he feels he has the authority to lift that RVP waiver on E15 and allow year-round sales. But he's also, from what we've read, said that he can't do that unless it's part of a package deal.
Right. And that is that's just patently false. I mean, he absolutely can and should. And, you know, we need the White House to tell him to do that. So he continues to try to, you know, with one hand, give us the RVP parity, and with the other, take away any of the benefit of that expanded market by ludicrous and, frankly, illegal notions of giving RIN credit for exports of ethanol, and to be effectively and dramatically reducing the requirements under the RFS through handing out these economic waivers to refiners on their RFS compliance. So they have the legal authority. They need to initiate a rulemaking now. They should have initiated rulemaking months ago in time for this summer driving season. And instead, we're going to have to wait till next summer for this to be helpful. But a rulemaking does take some time, and it needs to start now. And there's no need to, you know, throw in a bunch of pennies for the oil industry. That has been given plenty of credit, plenty of free benefits from Secretary Pruitt already.
Has this whole debate, discussion that's gone on for months, has this had an impact on your business?
There's no question it's had an impact on our business and the entire ethanol industry. It's created a lot of uncertainty, which has created enough of a scare in the marketplace to where, you know, ethanol margins are not what they should be. Corn prices are not what they should be. The use of corn in producing ethanol is the singular and largest new opportunity for growth in corn consumption and sales. And without the higher blends, we're 10% of every gallon of gas in the United States today. Without the higher blends, you know, we can't buy more corn and produce more ethanol. We are a very efficient industry that's built to levels that allow us to to sell significantly more than 10% ethanol. We've had export, that's been helpful, but we have the largest gasoline market in the world right here in the United States. We should be keeping that ethanol at home, and we need market growth to support ethanol producers and corn growers.
And if you were to get E15 year-round, if the industry were, would this cause you to increase production, do you think?
Yes. It will take some time because you have to introduce it to consumers. There's modest infrastructure improvements that have to be made, but that's why we need a clear rule. That's why RINs are helpful in providing incentives to do that. That's why with ethanol selling it on a wholesale basis, 60 to 70 cents a gallon less than gasoline, not only is that good for the consumer, but it's an incentive for blenders. So we believe that once the year-round blending of E15 is available, that it will grow very quickly. And ultimately, we think that not only will that be the norm, but that we will start looking at blends that are higher than 15% as well, because that's the optimal use of the environmental and octane benefits of the fuel is to even go beyond the 15% blends. So we're a 16 billion gallon industry annual capacity today. The gasoline consumption in the U.S. is about 145 billion. 10% blends is 14.5. Theoretically, that could grow over time by 7 billion gallons if the whole market transitioned to 15%. So it is a huge market growth opportunity for the industry, and one that's necessary and very beneficial to the consumers.
And as far as specific ethanol, do you have room to increase production too?
Yes, we do. We can expand existing plants. We can continue to debottleneck our plants to be more efficient and get incremental capacity. And we can build new plants with not only corn, but looking at some new feedstocks as well. There's an opportunity. If you look at the improvements that have been made in the efficiency of growing corn, yields are higher. The last 4 years have been the four largest corn crops in history. So we know the corn farmer can produce more corn, can do it efficiently, cost effectively, and we know that the industry is standing by as markets develop to increase capacity to convert more corn into ethanol and high protein feed.